Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we oftentimes visit with folks from the North Shore because they are intrinsically linked throughout this metropolitan area to what's going on both economically and as we grow, we all grow together. And as we have our successes, we all succeed together. And I've been very fortunate to have members of the Chamber of Commerce from the North Shore visit with us. And today's no different. We are joined by Ronnie Simpson, board chair of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Ronnie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. I appreciate you having us, and we always appreciate the opportunity to talk on WBL.
So, Ronnie, I spend a lot of time reminding folks early voting starts tomorrow and ends on Saturday, October 4th, with one day off, September 28th, which is this Sunday. They are closed.
Yeah, we're not heathens, Noel. We don't vote on Sunday.
Right. So I point that out because we have important elections on the South Shore. We have them on the North Shore as well, right?
Right. We sure do. And look, I think it's important. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that it's depending on your point of view, every election is important to somebody and more important to even others. So I think what we've done in the past is sort of think about is, you know, this is a big election. This is a little election. Now this one, you know, maybe I can miss this election. But I think what we're trying to do and what we're trying to tell people is that, you know, they're all important. And even if it's the mayor of New Orleans or the mayor of Slidell or the mayor of some small like Folsom, it's the folks that are closest to you essentially in government and the ones that honestly could have the most impact on your day-to-day life.
No, absolutely. You know, it's funny. Every time I talk about local elections, I start getting text about, well, you know, what about the presidential, you know, candidate that this one's doing this one's doing that. I said, look, voting for president is incredibly important, but that position is not going to move my life one degree left or right. But these local elections, they will definitely move my life more than a degree left or right.
Yeah,
because it's all of the services that you know, locals have grown accustomed to. They're not provided by the president of the United States. They're provided by parish elected officials and municipal elected officials.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all due respect to the president and our senators and representatives in the House, they're not fixing the potholes and, you know, they're not the ones that are making sure that going out and making sure the drainage ditches are clean so that when it rains heavy, you know, we're not getting water in our front yard or backyard or even worse. So, you know, I think you're 100% right. And I think if we can sort of turn that feeling around that it's like, oh, it's just one of those little elections, you know, or what just one of those that it's okay for me to miss it. But you're right on the spot with what you just said. These are the elections that honestly will have the greatest impact on your life and your family's life.
And in St. Tammany, there's even some additional issues there that I think a lot of people fail to recognize. When you look back a decade, the opportunity for growth in St. Tammany has been absolutely more robust than most other parishes, right? The fact that you have two interstate systems that flow through the parish, one east-west, one north-south, you know, and then they split off, and you have a third one, you know, that continues on, headed north. The opportunities there, and in the whole way in the aftermath of Katrina, with distribution facilities, and those local elections, they all matter as it relates to that smart growth. And y'all with the St. Tammany Chamber, y'all know it better than anybody, right? Because you've been looking and assessing and trying to figure out what's the right thing to do and everything else. A lot of other parishes don't, they have it, but not to the extent that St. Tammany's had.
Right. And I think we fortunately enjoy a much bigger blank slate than most of our regional partners. You know, we have, upwards of like 400 and so odd square miles of land in the parish. So it's, and a lot of it is undeveloped or, you know, we love our trees and we've got a lot of them. So we've got a lot of space that potentially could be, if dealt, you know, in a smart way, we could grow. We could have opportunities for our children to come home. But I think that elections like the one on October 11th in Slidell, in particular, are some of those very subtle turning points that I think voters don't quite, and citizens don't quite appreciate. So I think what we're doing and what the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce is doing in coordination, which is I think some of the first times we've seen this, in coordination with other like-minded groups like the East St. Tammany Business Alliance, the North Shore Home Builders Association, the North Shore Business Council, the United Way, and we've worked with a lot of others as well, but those ones that signed on to say, you know what, our turnout is not what it should be. And in fact, you could make a case that it was pretty darn bad. And when like-minded folks get together and decide that they want to make a change and want to make a difference, that's where we are right now. We said that enough is enough, and we should really encourage folks to get out there and exercise their right.
Yeah, you know, and we've seen this trend. Unfortunately, the North Shore is not the only area experiencing that, right? And and then when you consider how important the city of Slidell is to the overall parish of St. Tammany, covering a good portion of the eastern portion of that parish and being in its own right a very strong economic epicenter for the parish, you know, governance there is important.
Right. The Slidell is the anchor on the east side of the parish, no question. And you don't have to look far to see the economic impact that they contribute to the overall health of our community. They had the grand opening of the Amazon distribution center there, I think 2 weeks ago. And it's a great place to do business, and along with the rest of the North Shore. So I think I like to boil things down as small as I can to explain kind of what I'm trying to do or what we're trying to do with this initiative about getting out the vote. And we're just starting here in Slidell. Eventually, you know, if this goes well, we move that needle. We're going to move it to other races, whether they're in Covington or Madisonville or across the parish in general. What we want to do is sort of look, take the conventional wisdom or the conventional thinking that folks have when it comes to voting, and just sort of throw it out the window and kind of boil it down to the least common denominator. It's a Saturday where you can spend 5 minutes and make a difference. You can do it when you go out to pick up things at Dollar General, or you're going to pick up your shirts at the cleaners. It's as easy as I said this to someone else the other day. I said, you can play a long song on the radio, turn it on in your car, get out, go vote, come back, and it's likely that you're still going to have the same song on the radio finishing up when you get back. It's super quick. It's super easy. And honestly, we've all been in a voting booth. It's not a scary place. This isn't some, you know, sci-fi thing where the machine's going to gobble you up or anything. This is easy. You walk in, you show them your ID, you go in the booth, and you're going to push less buttons on that voting machine on the 11th than you will on your remote control when you're trying to decide what to watch on Netflix.
Yeah. And what's interesting and what I love about y'all's approach, it's not biased in any way, right? This, you're just promoting the privilege and the right to vote and encouraging people to exercise and take advantage of that privilege because you can make a difference. And I've been reminding of my listening audience of that very much so. But you have data that actually backs up what we're talking about, right? Let's talk about that for a moment, about how St. Tammany turned out for the national elections and what their turnout was for locals.
Yeah, like a lot of places, because of the weather, because of who was running or the polarization, whatever you want to attribute it to. And there's a lot of, there are books written about this, so I'm not going to presume to be an expert, but our turnout was, upwards of 70, above 70% for the national election. So we had, which tells you we have the potential to be motivated and to take charge of what we need to do. However, when you get down ballot and it's not a national election, it's maybe just a parish election or even in worse results on a super local election, we get down to as low as we've seen 9% in some areas. And that's not 9% of the population. That's 9% of the voting, the people registered that have registered voters, to vote, yeah. Right? Yeah. So that just, it sort of drives me crazy because I'll go simple on this because that's the way I sort of look at things and want to explain them to folks is that, so you wouldn't, we're coming up on noontime and everybody's going to have lunch. You wouldn't ask a stranger what you should eat for lunch. But if you give up your right to vote, you get up and you don't vote, and you let a stranger choose for you, because that's what you're doing when you don't go vote. Somebody else is voting in for you, not in your place, but you're allowing someone else to make that decision for you. You're allowing them to make a decision on what you're going to eat three meals a day for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So why would you do that? You wouldn't so much even allow them to tell you what to eat for lunch today, but you have the opportunity. You have the power to make a decision to do your part and quite honestly, your responsibility to help make a decision in your community.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the way that you put that. So you guys then are going to engage in a campaign. You're going to start this endeavor, this effort with this Slidell election on October 11th, and it's called the Vote Slidell campaign. You've got a number of groups coming together, I guess, to fund and finance this to make this push.
Yeah. So honestly, we didn't even ask them to fund. If they wanted to, that's great. I think what we wanted to show was some solidarity in like-minded groups to say, No, really, this is important. It's not and I've said this to a lot of people, it's not the sexiest issue, right? This isn't something that gets people excited. This is not something that unless you're a little geeky like me and have a political science degree, right? So you really, this isn't the sexiest stuff to talk about. However, it's important. That's the point, though. It's important, and it only takes a second. It literally is so easy to do, because I don't know about you, but I remember the first time my parent, or my dad in fact, took me in with him as a kid to vote. And I'll tell you, it was probably voting for your former boss, Sheriff Lee, and in a voting booth at Johnny Bright gym in Metairie. So I remember that. That makes an impression on me, and because of that, I understood how important it was. Not just about getting the vote, but the idea that he took the time to take me with him to tell me about it, to show me. I began that understanding of the value of local elections, of the local impact that not just the sheriff, but a mayor or a councilman can make on your life and your family's life.
Yeah, right. I have the same memory of the first presidential election after the passing of John F. Kennedy. I was probably, I don't know, 6, 7, somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember waiting in a line that at that time must have been a half a block long.
Well, yeah, yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet.
For that election as well. But you're so right, and hopefully more communities across the state of Louisiana will do what you guys are doing there at the chamber, because I think you're going to be successful. The campaign is going to be successful. Sometimes people just need a little nudging, right?
And yeah, sure.
About what's going on. I think in Slidell there's only two things to vote on, if my memory serves me correct, one being the mayor and the other one being the fire protection district. Is that right? Is that the only?
Yeah, I believe so.
So there are two items. One is a fee renewal and the other is the election of the mayor. So we remind folks to get out. And I want to commend y'all for doing this.
Thanks.
And hopefully, like I said, it gets infectious and other people begin to do the same thing, because this is really what impacts your life, right? Is what's happening at the local level. And there are a lot of challenges out there right now. And for a lot of communities, and I think you will agree, Ronnie, and you see this in business all the time, so you're used to it, you can't make that many mistakes, because when you start making mistakes, things catch up and it's hard to catch back. So you want to have good, competent people that are willing to put in the time and the effort. And it's a sacrifice to be a publicly elected official. But to do it right, you got to be there on it each and every day. These are not jobs that it's like collecting rent where you just go to the mailbox. You know, you actually got to show up and do something to make a difference.
Right. Yeah, and you live that, right? So you understand the butt whipping occasionally, and that's, it's hard, and you think you do what you think is right, right? So and you're trying to make a difference, or you wouldn't be doing it in the first place, right? So it's a tough gig to do. I used to work in parish government several years back, and it's rough. But it's very rewarding, because I think one of the things that I loved about it in working in government is having the ability to help people. And when they look to their government, or they look, whether it's federal or local or state, they need help in doing something. And a lot of times they don't understand or don't have an understanding of the process. So when you can be there for them and help them through that process to achieve whatever it is that they're trying to, whether it's huge or something very small, when you're able to, at the end of the day, when you're able to say, I know I helped this person, or I helped that person, or, you know, I got this, you know, this family squared away with, so they could close on their house or whatever it was. That's the reward. That was what really drove me in being committed to that mission. And you're right. We have to pick, and we have to elect both smart and competent folks. And the only way that really you can assure that to happen is if you participate in this process, and you just take a few moments and exercise that right, and just pop in. And it's likely that it's some, you know, rec district or elementary school or high school or somewhere in your neighborhood that it's easy to get to, or you'd pass it almost every day, just take a short detour, drive in, show them the license, go in, do what you need to do, and go about your day. It's really easy. It's really fast. And it makes such an incredible impact.
Yep. And take your kids with you. Let them experience
it.
Let them see it. Let them see what it's all about. Got a text here. I remember being lifted up to flip a lever for Nixon in 1968. Mom was big on civic duty. Ronnie Simpson, board chair, St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Best of luck with this endeavor.
Thank you.
Very, very important. And you guys are to be commended. And we appreciate you joining us today. And have a great weekend.
Thanks for having us, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're going to have open lines. We want to hear from you. Got a lot to talk about. No Filter Friday. Love to hear from you. So give us a shout. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. Welcome back, folks. Give us a shout, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Would love to hear from you. A lot going on in and around the FBI, right? FBI Director James Comey is indicted for allegedly lying to Congress. And I'm going to be doing some more research on that topic just to see exactly what this is all about. I mean, Comey is a very complicated individual, to say the least. I actually met James Comey 4, maybe 5 times. I have participated in kind of like a roundtable discussion with him. While he was the FBI director, very impressed with him early on, and kind of as more I was around and reports coming out about some of the things that he was doing and some of the things that he didn't do that I thought he should do, and how he involved himself in things that I thought that he shouldn't do. He fell out of favor for me. He was not one of my favorite FBI directors by any stretch of the imagination. I think he did it to himself. I think he was very self-centered, thought he was the center of the universe. He talks about President Trump being narcissistic. Not that he's not, but the fact of the matter is Comey was right there with him, every bit as much of a narcissist. Kind of had the same feeling about McCabe. Had an opportunity to meet with him less times, but, same thing. They kind of thought they walked on water. When you go up to FBI headquarters and you're meeting with these folks, it's really kind of an interesting experience. A lot of the local law enforcement leaders, some of the meetings that we left less than impressed with all of what they had to offer. We'll let this play out. I mean, this what this comes down to, unfortunately, is a swearing contest between Andrew McCabe, who we know has got a troubled past. there's a fine line between being political activists and some of what they did historically and James Comey. Because what we also know about Comey is that although he denies ever having leaked information to the media, he always had a conduit. And most recently, when he was fired, he took documents that he was not entitled to take and actually gave them to a friend, a professor, and had the professor release it to a New York Times, writer. Don't know if the writer did, if the friend, the professor did that at his direction. We'll never know. But I don't happen to believe, in my opinion, I don't believe in coincidences. It's just amazing because he says he brought it in order to protect himself because of the onslaught of Donald Trump and what he was saying about how he was treated by this particular individual and otherwise. And he was making comments that, you know, that James Comey better hope that our conversations weren't taped, yada, 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 throwing stuff out there as it relates to that. And so all of this becomes very, very complicated here. And this practice of law enforcement leaking to the media is a very, very dangerous practice, especially when you're involved in politically sensitive investigations over and over and over again. And it was something that I always took very seriously. And I can say with deadpan honesty, never, ever did I leak anything to the media. To the contrary, I challenged the media over and over and over again. Never, ever did I truly trust the media. When they made mistakes, they never made a mistake that was advantageous to me as an elected official, that made me look better, right? It's amazing how, and I get it, mistakes are made, I understand it, but you know what's amazing? 100% of the time, the mistake was always one that was not favorable to me, would put me in horrible light. And when you challenge them and they recanted and, you know, they put it about 5-6 pages back from where it appeared the first time on the front page, you know, that they were recanting the story. Again, I don't believe in coincidences. How can it be statistically that every time it works to your detriment? Never is it a mistake in favor of you. And it's just kind of my observation. But when you start to play these silly games, there are silly outcomes and consequences to this. And, you know, this leaking of information to try and move the public opinion one way or another while you're involved during the course of an investigation, you know, it's not a healthy practice at all. Not at all. And in D.C., it's a sport, quite frankly. And it's something that I always frowned upon. I've actually disciplined people for leaking information to the media because it's not their role and it's not our role to try and leak information in order to achieve or alter the course of something out there for our benefit or to the detriment of an individual that's being investigated. It's not fair. It should never be done. And we should in this country start to hold people accountable for doing it. And even though I'm walking on the dark side today, I still feel every bit, you know, I still object to that practice every bit as much. I could benefit from it today. And I don't even like to ask questions of people that I know that they're going to have a problem in releasing that information. That's how adamant I am, and that's how opposed I am to that practice. Because it's just not fair. And it shouldn't be done. You should worry about the presentation of your evidence, present it to a jury, present it to a judge, and let the chips fall where they may. And if it's a jury, you should not be out there trying to influence the public perception one way or the other as the investigating agency just because the defense lawyer for the defendant is engaged in that practice. It doesn't make it right for the government to do that. And it's just, you know, a feeling that I've had. When these guys are playing these games and these communications back and forth as to how they feel about a president, whether it's Trump, Biden, Obama, Bush, whoever it may be, that's not their concern. The politics that go on should never be their concern, one way or the other. And it's interesting because what was released the other day that has never been released, and of course, you have to wonder why it's never been released, 274 FBI agents were sent to the Capitol for January 6th. That number's not been revealed. In fact, it's been specifically asked by the director of the FBI, and they refused to answer. Christopher Wray refused to answer the question, as though it was of some significance and importance that the public couldn't consume, right? Well, what makes it worse is that these individuals actually wrote a letter to management saying that they felt like they were being used as political pawns in this endeavor. They pointed out the hypocrisy of the manner in which they were compelled to conduct investigations of individuals of J6 as opposed to those that they investigated during the Summer of Love. And in many respects, they pointed out the damage, the threat, the existential threat to democracy was greater with some of the acts of the individuals during the Summer of Love as opposed to the acts of those that they were compelled to investigate during J6. Now, that would have been a valuable information, don't you think, during the political discourse of what was going on? Because there was a belief that there was hardly any FBI agents that were there during that period of time. But they were. And now the committee has this many, many, many years later. They find out about these inner office memos being sent to leadership and FBI as to how they feel. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan vowed that they're going to get to the bottom of still the untold secrets of J6 and what actually happened there and what actually went on and the communications in the aftermath of this as to what was being pushed. You know, we're hearing folks talk about, oh, man, we're politicizing the Department of Justice. We're doing this. We're doing that. And the same issue came up with the First Amendment rights. Big issue over Jimmy Kimmel, right? Big issue. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Google reveals that the Biden administration communicated directly with them and engaged in content moderation and content alteration and threatened them. Now, we already know about what happened at Twitter, and we already know what went on at Facebook, because the owners of both of those companies have already testified before Congress talking about how the Biden administration engaged in content moderation directly from the White House himself. That is a threat to democracy. That is exactly what the First Amendment says that you cannot do, but they did it. Do we hear the people from the left making a big issue about that? Of course not. Of course not. And it's the same reason they're all getting upset. 400 actors. Oh, my God. 400 actors writing a letter. They're upset with Disney because Jimmy Kimmel was taken off air. One less opportunity for them to perpetuate a film or some project that they're involved in. Who's the largest beneficiary of late night talk show hosts? Right? Actors. Hollywood. Coming on and having a mutual admiration society about their next project, most of which bomb at the box offices. I mean, it's, you know, and we're supposed to be moved by 400 actors all upset because now they've lost another mouthpiece advocating for their next project. Really? Unbelievable. Let's go to Rocco. Rocco, you up? You're up. What say
you? Rocco, you're hard to follow. You're very... make a half-ass liberal like me want to be right-wing when I'm really just a big-hearted moderate who drove cabs for 50 years and who rode everybody from Kathleen Turner to Bennett Johnson and Dutch Morrell, too. But anyway, I think, you know, on the big picture with Washington, we'll just throw them all in the river and start over. But, because they're all liars, and, I got to say, my friends call me Democrat because I live in the French Quarter. That's why my name is Rocco. I drove cabs for 50 years. I'm starting the first guy with, all right, number one, they're talking about things that made this city move. And the money we gave to all of these organizations to bring in tourists. Well, by far, in 50 years of owning cabs, the biggest draw of people for 2 to 3, 4 weeks a year is the Jazz and Heritage Festival. Makes them all look like a St. Claude picnic. That's how big that is. Every restaurant's back, every jazz club's back, everything. The cabs don't quit moving, the travel buses don't quit moving, the Ubers don't quit moving. But that's number one. And then Taylor Swift, they closed all the streets for her. I was picking up people at the OPP, you know what that is, Early Paris Prison? Because they closed all the streets. Sometimes that prior, millionaire ladies in silk suits with their daughters spending millions. That might have been the biggest event we ever had in a week. And another one, LSU Tulane. 1 year, yeah. About 10 years ago, Tulane and LSU played at 12 o'clock. We have in New Orleans, and the reason it was such a big financial success for the city, it's economics. They all were the LSU fans who lived in every big city who flew in Friday and went home Monday, and they spent a ton of money. Economics, not hate Tulane, hate LSU. Make the city move. Then we got thousands of kids getting killed in this city. I was a poor kid on Maria and St. Bernard. My dad died when I was 11. I hold God. You want to know the truth? They don't talk about me. But guess what? I came home. I was a square. That I wanted to be a square. I wanted to be right.
There's no doubt that cabbies have always had their finger on the pulse of what's happening, what's moving, and why in any city that you ride in a cab in. Because you're observing, right? 24/7, you're out there just watching, talking, getting feedback from the regular Joe. Always appreciate your call, Rocco. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back, folks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They with us. On the text line, Sunil, you find the Biden administration attempt to get Google to remove online info that contradicted government health advice was in fact wrong. Yeah, I did, because some of what they characterize as misinformation ended up being truthful information. So let's flip the script. The other day, the Trump administration advises to pregnant women to no longer take acetaminophen. I talked about this yesterday, had a guest on and said, don't take that advice from government. Visit your physician. So you think it would be fair for the federal government then to try and suppress me and limit me as to what I have to say, as well as a whole bunch of other talk show hosts, as well as a whole lot of other media that are presenting the counter argument to what they are saying? You don't want to play around with this. What's wrong is wrong. It's the beauty of the construct of this place we call the United States of America. You can't justify it on one hand because it gets to the means that you want, and on the other, you're against it. Bad. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.